You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews 1. Now, I'm starting a new series today, although this is a scripture that we went over last week. We taught on for well over a month on who is this Jesus, and talked about the uniqueness of Jesus and who he is and how he's the Son of God and how he's God in the flesh and how he also is a man, how he's the express image of God's person. We got that out of Hebrews 1. And how that he just doesn't fit the bill of religious teachers, leaders, so on and so forth. He's not a Muhammad. He's not a Buddha. Jesus is more than all that. He's not just a man. He didn't just bring us a message. Jesus is the message. Are you with me? He didn't just tell us about God. He is God. Woo! Hallelujah. So in Hebrews 1, we're going to just continue on here. But it's going to be another series. That makes sense? My series just kind of overlapped, if that's okay. Because one thing leads to another. You know, one series just leads into another series. But in Hebrews 1 it says, God who at sundry times and in many manners or divers manners spoke in times past unto the by the fathers, but to the fathers by the prophets, excuse me, hath in these last days, everybody say last days, it's here, because if there ever were last days, we got to be the lastest of the last, amen? He hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son, or literal Greek just says in son. In other words, it doesn't translate well because he's not just telling us the vehicle by which he, or the medium by which he brings us a message. He's telling us Jesus is the message. He's not just how God is speaking. Are you with me? And he's not just what God is speaking. He is God speaking. Wow. I mean, he didn't say, I show you a way. He said, I am the way. He didn't say, I show you truth. He said, I am the truth. He didn't say, I show you life. He says, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus didn't bring us a truth or a message. He is the message. And we need to understand that. And so in these last days, he spoke to us by his son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds. Wow, that separates them. Jeremiah was more than a bullfrog, according to Three Dog Night, but Jeremiah the prophet didn't make the worlds, and neither did Moses, and neither did Ezekiel and Daniel. All thank God for all of them. Thank God for Mary. Thank God for Peter. Thank God for Paul. We love them all. But there's nobody like Jesus. Jesus made the worlds. Come on. He's not a Buddha or a Muhammad or a Hare Krishna. Are you kidding me? He's someone totally different here. Hallelujah. He's in another category altogether. He is the core and the foundation of all that we preach and teach. He is the Word made flesh. He is the consummation of the flesh. We don't just preach a message. We don't just preach a doctrine. We don't just preach, stay with me, we don't just preach the Bible. We preach Jesus, whom the Bible tells us about. And if you don't get to Jesus, you really hadn't got it. You hadn't got the message. This is not, and we often talk about the Word, the Word, the Word, and I'm a Word preacher. I preach the Word. If you love the Word, you're going to love me. If you don't love the Word, you're not going to love me, because I'm going to preach the Word. But the Word I preach is Jesus. And the message and the promises and all these things that are laid out before us in the Bible point us to Him. So there's a direction we're going here. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, where there's life, there's noise, y'all. Praise God. Thank God for life. Hallelujah. So, you know, Jesus is what we're all about. If you want to know about God, you got to get to Jesus. Amen? What would God do? What is his will? What is he thinking? What would he do if he were here? Well, we've got four gospels of him walking the earth. Amen? In Jesus Christ. And he was a man, I understand that. He did what he did as a man, I understand that. But he didn't do anything he didn't see the Father do. He didn't say anything he didn't hear the Father say. So when he speaks, we're listening to God speak. And when he moves and acts, we're watching God act. So it says here, third verse, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. Wow. Upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, somebody. Your sins have been purged. Your sins have been cleansed. Your sins have been taken away. And it was done by one man, this God man, this Jesus. He did it by himself. It wasn't you that helped him do it. You couldn't help him do it. It wasn't anything you added to it. Jesus plus anything doesn't work anyway. He did it by himself. He purged our sins, and he sat down on the right hand of God forever, making good our eternal redemption. Woo, hallelujah. Man, if that doesn't stir you up and fire you up, then your wood's wet. But then it goes on and says this, which is where I want to get to and start this series. It says, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. The name of Jesus. I want to start a series on the name of Jesus and teach on it and talk about it and chew it and dissect it and see what the Bible says about it. Hope you begin to understand it and use it in your life. And the reason when we go through here, we'll see this. The reason God hears us when we pray in Jesus' name, is because of the majesty, the glory, and the honor that God in the universe gives to that name. That name, Jesus, is above every name. And by inheritance, it says he's obtained a more excellent name than all the angels. Hallelujah. It is the most cherished name, the most honored name, the most worshipped name in existence. And also, in some respects, in some circles, the most hated, the most denigrated name in this earth. It's amazing how people have made a cuss word out of something holy like the name Jesus. They stub their toe and they use the word, the name Jesus, in a blasphemous way, sacrilegious way. You know, no one stumps their toe and says, "Oh, Buddha." No one hits their head getting in the car and says, "Muhammad." But they say Jesus in a denigrating way, and that's just the devil trying to cheapen that name because he knows the power of it and he's afraid of it. Are you with me? He knows on the lips of a believer, if you get a hold of it and understand the implications and ramifications and what's behind that name, the power of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ, hallelujah, the Son of the living God, the creator and maker of all that is, conferred and bestowed and given us that name to pray with, to put demons on the run and to cause sickness to flee and pain to go and depression to roll back and the sun to shine again. The devil doesn't want you to know that. He doesn't want you to get a hold of that. He wants to cheapen the name. Are you with me? And you and I don't need to let the devil come in and define our doctrine for us and tell us what to do. We need to put him on the run, amen, and use the name to get it done. It says here, he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name. A more excellent name. The most excellent name of Jesus. Far above every name. Hallelujah. In fact, turn to Philippians, second chapter. If you have your Bibles here, we're just going to go through a couple of instances and establish this fact. That this name is not just a, it's not a magic word. It's not a fetish. It's not like saying please at the table getting the butter. It doesn't really work for anybody except those that believe. Amen. In fact, one of the qualifications in Mark 16 is these signs to fall in that believe in my name. You have to believe to use the name. There is an instance even in the book of Acts where they used the name and they didn't believe. It didn't work for them. You know, it's not like saying please at the table getting the butter. It's not punching a button making something happen. But for us that believe, oh my, it is our authority. It is our right to use that name, to operate in that name. And that's why God hears us when we pray. Come on. Because we're not praying in our name, we're praying as his, in his name. You know, I made mention earlier when we were praying here that when you really put it all together, we are down here representing him and we've been given his name to do so. We have a job to do. We have a mission, as it were. And we're empowered to do that by that name, or authorized by that name. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit. But we're authorized by that name because we work for Jesus and company to do what we do in his name. And God has given us the right to use it, handed it over to us and said, go for it. And so when we do, you know, the world or the devil and God and everybody else, I mean, the devil who's against us and God who's for us and the world out there, they don't check our bank account, see what we got. They check Jesus' bank account, see what he's got, because we're doing it in his name. I'm getting way ahead of myself, but we represent him down here, Jesus and company. Amen? He represents us up there. You know, it's amazing. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. I like to do this when people get saved. I think it's a good picture teaching. I have them come up, they accept Jesus. I have them turn around and say, okay, I want you to confess to this crowd, Jesus is my Lord. And you know, Susie comes up here or Fred comes up here or somebody comes up here and I'll turn around and confess Jesus. And they'll say, Jesus is my Lord. Then I'll stop and I said, the Bible says that if you confess me before men, Jesus said it, that I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. If you could get a picture, when Susie says, Jesus, my Lord, to you, Jesus stands up and looks at God and says, I confess Susie before you right now. I am Susie's Lord. I confess Fred before you right now. I am Fred's Lord. Now that's a powerful thing, but that's exactly what happens. You see, Jesus represents us in heaven. He is confessing us all the time. Every time we confess Him, He confesses us. Every time you pray in His name, He just says, I confess them right now. I confess I'm healed in Jesus' name. I confess Michael's healed in Jesus' name. In my name, he's confessing my name, I'm confessing Him. Are you with me? See, I represent Him down here. He represents me up there. Wow. No, that's a bigger wow than y'all wowed. We don't think about those kinds of things, but that is what the Scripture says. That is a powerful thing. More powerful than any disease, more powerful than any depression, more powerful than any opposition, more powerful than any devil. Are you out there? The name Jesus. Who? Wow. The name, and it should be on our lips. That name should be on our lips. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I got somebody backing me up. I haven't seen the movie Noah. I don't really know about it much about it, but there's a movie coming out on the Noah with Russell Crowe. I've heard pros and cons, and you know that they portrayed him as an environmentalist, and it really wasn't all that spiritual. But I saw the previews to it, and I thought it was interesting. He made this statement. He was standing by the ark, and there was just a crowd of people coming, trying to get on, you know, and they didn't like him, and they hated him. You kind of got that impression from the previews. And he said, you think this guy comes up, and he's the king, evidently, with all these people behind him. And he says, you think you're going to resist me all by yourself? He looked at him. He says, I am not alone. Whew. Man, it just went through me when he said that. I thought, I kind of like to see the movie just from that one line, you know. I don't know about the rest of the movie. I hope it's okay, but boy, that sounded pretty good right there. I am not alone, and you are not alone either. Are you with me? You haven't been alone a day in your life since the day you got saved. You have never been alone. Jesus said, I never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. And you have access to this name. Oh, my. The name above every name. The name Jesus. You can pray in that name when things go wrong. When everything falls apart and falls to pieces, you can say in Jesus' name, glory to God, and change everything. Change the whole atmosphere. Change the whole environment. Change your whole destiny and your whole future. Philippians 2, found it? Philippians 2, verse 9 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, speaking of Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name. Everybody say every name.
Every name.
That at the name of Jesus, oh, would God would use that name. There's such a move, even in churches, to get away from Jesus. You know, just to say Christ or in His name or for His sake. Or are you with me? You know, I read an article on Duck Dynasty, and you know, they close out in prayer at their table. And they had been editing out Jesus' name in their prayer. The editors had been doing it for like a couple seasons or so. And they weren't really paying attention. They figured it out what they were doing. And they told them, I said, you got to put that back in there. Because they will say, you'll hear Phil say, amen. Or thank you or something like that, you know. And he said, that's not the way we end our prayers. We end our prayers in Jesus' name. I thought, wow, I didn't know that. Because they edited it out. They just took it out. You know, I remember when I went down to the state legislature and opened up in prayer, Betty had me go down there, and was pastor for a day. It's been a few years ago. And Dan Flynn, of course, was our representative, and he was kidding about it. He says, you know, some people have a problem with Jesus' name. He didn't. Dan does not have a problem with Jesus' name. And he said, some people get upset, you know, when they use it and so on and so forth, and we even had some people didn't ask that we didn't use it. And I said, they're just all going to get mad again when I get through praying. That's all I can say. Because I'm going to use it. In fact, the way I closed the prayer out was, I prayed a sweet prayer over everybody there. You know, that the sacrifices that those representatives make, leaving home and family and coming down here. And Yeah, it's a thankless job, but, you know, many of them, they get sick like anybody. They need to be healed. They get discouraged, need to be encouraged. They don't get their legislation passed. They need to get back up and hit it again next time. Are you with me? So I really prayed for everybody in a real sincere prayer. And then I said, when I ended up, and I said, and I slowed down, I said, in the matchless name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Man, that's it. When I get in public, I make it a point to say, the matchless name of Jesus. I want them to hear that name. That name is what we're all about. Him, Jesus, he's what we preach. Are you with me? And to back off that and to oh, my, are you kidding me? If we stand up for anything, we ought to stand up for Jesus. That name ought to be on our lips. Hallelujah. We are Christians. We are believers forever, eternally. Whether we're Baptist, Methodist, Pentecost, Catholic, Church of Christ, we are Jesus' people. And there's one name that outshines them all, and it's not International Outreach Church, and it's not Baptist, and it's not Methodist, and it's not Catholic, and it's not Assembly of God. Now, thank God for all those churches. But those names are going to burn off like everybody's names, and one name's going to outshine them all, and that's the name Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus is the name above every name. He hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Next verse, 10th verse, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Well, that covers everything, doesn't it? I mean, if something comes up from the pit, you got it covered. Something comes running across your lawn, it's covered. Some little green man steps out of a UFO in your front yard or backyard, it's covered. People ask if I believe in UFOs, and I don't know. I've probably a bunch of demonic activity, to tell you the truth. But it really doesn't matter. Anything steps in my yard, in Jesus' name, got to go. Are you with me? The name Jesus is above every name. So, you know, if you see one of those little green creatures with big eyes walking in your bedroom, just point your finger at it in Jesus' name and say, get out of here right now. You watch it flee. You watch it scream and holler and run off. Because the name Jesus is above every name in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. Isn't that what it says? Oh, hallelujah. Now, you can see why the devil doesn't want you to know about that name. You can see why he wants to cheapen it. He wants to denigrate it. He wants to make it a cuss word, you know. He wants you to be flippant about the name. No, we don't need to be flippant about that name. That name is, it represents Jesus. It's not powerful in and of itself. It's powerful because of who it represents, who is behind it. There's a real person named Jesus. Amen. Amen, that really is a healer, really is a miracle worker, really is a strength in the time of trouble and peace and all those things the Bible says. And he says, at that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Things in heaven, things in earth, things in other earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Seeing here, and what he's saying here is real simple. There's nothing that's above that name. Nothing. Zero. No situation in your life. No opposition in your life. No thing that comes into your life. In fact, everything has a name when you think of it. No matter what it is, it has a name. You call it sickness. You don't know what it is, but it's called sickness. Sickness is a name. Depression is a name. Are you with me? Inferiority and fear, those are just names. That's all they are. Everything has a name. As soon as you name it, there's a name above it. Cancer is just a name. Are you out there? It's a name. That's all it is. And there is a name above every name. Now, see, in Christianity, we don't deny the existence of pain. We don't say that it's not real. Of course it's real. We don't say sickness is not real. Of course it's real. And poverty and all those, depression, all those things. You know, that's Christian science. Christian science denies the reality of anything negative. They think that if you can just think positive enough, that you would just mold in with the reality of everything that's positive, that everything negative is not real. You know, that's called Christian science. We're talking Christian sense. Hello. There is a devil. There is sickness. There is pain. There is fear. There is opposition. You do have tragedy. You do have loss. Those things do happen in life. But what we're saying is that there's something higher than that. There's something more powerful than that. That those are realities. Sure, they're truths, just like gravity is a truth. I believe in gravity. But I also believe in the law of lift. I believe gravity holds my iPad down. It holds it right there. But I also believe that I can overcome gravity. I don't deny gravity. I just know of a law of a higher law, lift. Watch this. Watch close. That's spooky, isn't it? I just overcame gravity. I didn't deny it. I just know a higher law. I figured that out a long time ago. In fact, I was a little kid when I figured that out, that I could overcome gravity. It's wonderful when I understood the principles and learned how to work with them and overcome them and so on and so forth. Well, you see, there's a higher law than your pain. I know you're hurting. I hurt too. Stick me, cut me, I bleed just like anybody else. But there is a higher law. There is something stronger. There's something greater. There is a name above that name that'll take you from that pain to power. Ooh. That'll take you from misery to ministry. Are you with me? That'll take you from adversity to advantage. You know, taught a message one time called MAP, M-A-P, how to turn your misery into ministry, how to turn your adversity into advantage, how you turn your pain into power. You can turn it around, amen? God didn't send it, but he can bring something good out of it. He didn't make it happen. He didn't send it to you. He didn't teach you with it, but what you can do is take it and turn it around, amen? If you've gone through something, gotten help, well, take that same health and strength and comfort and go help somebody else. Don't blame God for the pain. Don't blame him for the thing you went through. But let's come out of that thing ahead, not behind. Let's take a positive, not a negative out of it. Maybe you had some tragedy in your life. Join the club. We all have. But you can wallow in it or you can overcome it. You can rise above it. There's only two ways you can go, is up or down. Hello. Why don't you just go up and help somebody else that's going through the same thing? Don't blame God for it. Don't do that. I just hate that when people say, well, God just put me through. No, God didn't put me through it. God got me out of it. And God will get you out of it. That's the good news. He helped me, I'll help you. Amen? I found out the law of lift. It's called Jesus. He lifts all my burdens. He lifts all my pain. He lifts all my sickness. He lifts all my depression. He lifts it all. Hallelujah. He lifts it because the law lifts greater than the law of gravity. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. Whew. That Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. See, until that happens, until you overcome the thing, until you get victory over it, God's not glorified in your pain. He's glorified in your victory. He's not glorified in the tragedy. He's glorified in the deliverance. I think of the Burrs and Herb and Jan, you know, in that accident. That accident didn't glorify God. The protection and the overshadowing of God's hand, the angel of the Lord that camps around about, that's what glorified God. They all walked away. I'll tell you, when seven people in a vehicle turn over, the vehicle flips over, knocks the windows out, and they all walk away, that's a good day. That's a God day. That's a glory to God day is what that is. Not the accident, but the deliverance, the hand of God that protected and preserved and saved. Well, this accident glorified God. No, it didn't. No, the accident did not glorify God. The walking away glorified God. The no surgery glorified God. Are you with me? They're all in church today. Glorify. And the one that wasn't hurt is not here. No, Michaela and Megan weren't hurt either. I'm kidding. Megan was out there playing the guitar. Come on, let's try to be funny. The truth's not really relevant when you're trying to tell a story, you know, be funny. No. Quit. I'm just kidding. But what does glorify God? People are real confused about it. You hear it all the time. People say the sickness glorified God. You don't see that in the Bible. Are you kidding me? People glorify God when they got healed. They glorify God when they walked off of being crippled or they straightened up from being bent over. They glorify God not for their pain, not for their sickness, but for their deliverance, hallelujah, for their healing and for their victory and for their answered prayer. And that it comes when you call on his name, hallelujah. When Jesus, see, your God's glorified. When you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, not this deal, not this opposition, not this thing I'm facing here. No, I will not bow my knee to this. I am going to bow my knee to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm not going to confess this is Lord. I'm not going to confess cancer is Lord. I'm not going to confess flu is Lord. I'm not going to confess divorce is Lord. I'm not going to confess all these things that happen, loss and pain and grief. We're in a broken world. These things are all around us. But they are not Lord. Jesus is Lord. Are you with me? It happens to us. We hurt. I understand that. We go through these things. We're not in heaven. I get that. I understand all that. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt. Want to give it back. I wish I could, you know, send the T-shirt back. But that's not God. God is the deliverance. God is my help. God is my strength. Hallelujah. And Jesus is Lord, not those things. I will not bow my knee to it. Are you catching what I'm saying here? We've got to get Jesus on our lips. We got to say, I will serve, and I will bow my knee, and I will confess Jesus. I will not confess this as the Lord of my life. I went through this tragedy. Well, you need to get over it. I hate it. It's a bad thing. It hurts us all. Are you with me? Nobody likes tragedy. Nobody likes pain. But you're going to have to get over it. You're going to have to pick yourself up. You're going to have to go forward. I wish it weren't so. I wish we didn't get cut. I wish life didn't stick and cut and grab and bite and hurt so bad, but it does. I mean, life's that way. But see, you can overcome it. That's the good news. You can go up. You can go over. You can rise up. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, you can. If you will confess Him and you'll bow your knee to Him, and don't bow your knee to pain. Don't bow your knee to tragedy. Don't bow your knee to that doctor's report. Thank God for doctors. They're doing the best they can. But sometimes those reports are negative. Are you with me? We pray for doctors. We're for them. But that's not the final word. This is the final word. What God says is the final word. And whatever that doctor said and whatever that diagnosis is, it's no more than a name. It is a name. And the name of Jesus is above every name. Glory. Isn't that good? See, I think of that. I think of Romans 10:9. We often quote it, of course, concerning salvation, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. A classic verse, and rightfully so. We should proclaim it and declare it and shout it from the mountaintops, that if we can just get someone to turn their life over to Jesus, confess Him as Lord and Savior, and believe that God raised Him from the dead, they'll be saved. We know that. It says that. But I think even deeper in there, it's saying to us that what are we going to confess as Lord in our life? Maybe you're going through some depression. I don't know. Maybe you're going through a financial problem right now. I don't know. Maybe it's a marital problem. I don't know. It's very different with everybody. You know, we all have tragedy and pain and challenges in life. We do. The devil hates us. He doesn't like us. And this world's broken and fallen. It's not heaven. We're in a battleground. You need to wake up. There's a battle going on for your soul and for the soul of your children. There's a battle going on for your marriage and your family. There's the devil out there. There's an adversary. The devil walks about a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But hey, listen, whom resists steadfast in the faith, the Bible says. You can resist him. You can overcome him. You need to understand that. And it has to do with who you confess as Lord. Are you with me? Who's going to be your master? Is this going to master you? Is this thing going to put you in slavery? Is this thing going to determine your destiny, or is Jesus Christ going to determine your destiny? Are you going to confess this thing over and over the rest of your life and just let it just to change your future and rob you of your dreams and rob you of your goals and rob you of ministry and everything else? Or are you going to say, Jesus Christ is Lord. I confess Jesus as my Lord. I will overcome this. I have overcome this. I am healed in Jesus' name. I will make it. I have made it. I've already won. Are you with me? That better preaching, y'all are amen it. At the name of Jesus, every knee bows. Every knee bows. And every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. I love it. Now, turn to Ephesians 1. I'll start wrapping this up. I started wrapping it up when I started, so it doesn't really mean anything. But we are getting closer, I guess, to being through here. Hallelujah. Is this helping you? You know, we've got to be honest. We've got to be real. We're not denying pain and tragedy and opposition. I understand all that. Goodness gracious. Come on. I'm alive. I'm aware of what's going on. What we're talking about is power over these things. What we're talking about is the ability to recover and overcome. Hallelujah. To resist these things and to stop a lot of these things from having to start with. I mean, come on. Tip the scales in our favor. Start believing God and praying over ourselves, believing in the name of Jesus over our family and our marriages and our businesses, and using the name of Jesus. Using the name of Jesus. You know why He's given us that name? To use. It's not just a right. It's a responsibility. Isn't it great we have the name? Well, we're not just, we are commissioned to use the name. We're not just given the name. We're actually, he handed it to us to use. He's in heaven. We're here. You get it? He wants it to continue. So he gave it to us to continue. Not to use if you wanted to, or, you know, when you feel like it or don't feel like it. No, we ought to be actively using that name, praying in that name. Hallelujah. Okay. Ephesians 1:20. Oh, man, you know this one, surely. You know, where it talks about the 17th verse, you know, that God would grant to us the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being light, that we might know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. 20th verse, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That same power is to us, whatever power he's praying that we would know about, the exceeding greatness of his power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So whatever it took to raise Jesus from the dead, same kind of power you have access to and I have access to. I don't know what kind of situation you're going through. I don't know what your problem is. But whatever power it took to raise Christ from the dead, I mean, Jesus conquered hell, death, and the grave, okay? That's got to be the biggest miracle there ever was. There was no opposition anywhere else, but that one, boy, I tell you what, all of hell, the devil and all of his cohorts were against that, and yet Jesus just slapped him upside the head and took the keys of hell and death from him, took his teeth out. He's like a toothless lion walking around as a roaring lion, got no teeth, just roars. And Jesus made a show of the devil and all of his cohorts openly in the corridors of hell. And the Bible says he rose victorious. I just love that. We're not serving a babe in a manger. We're not serving just a sinless man. We're not serving just someone who died on the cross. We're serving a warrior and a conqueror. We're serving someone who conquered and defeated death, hell, and the grave and arose with the keys of hell and death, Lord of lords and King of kings. Oh, hallelujah. And that power is to us who believe. That's the power that God has in reserve with our name on it, waiting for us to call. And when you call in a situation in Jesus' name and ask God to help you, or in Jesus' name, you just use the name. Sometimes we're not asking God. Sometimes we're just demanding, not of God, but the devil or the situation in Jesus' name. Sometimes we're just demanding. Sometimes we're asking. But when we use that name, God looks over here and opens up that package and says, yeah, I got plenty of power left to do that. Yeah. He's got so much power in reserve. We're going to get to heaven and realize we hadn't even tapped into it, you know, all that was that we had access to. Now he says this. He said, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand above the heavenly places, in the heavenly places, far above. Everybody say far above. All principality and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. That pretty well covers it, doesn't it? Every world. Not only this one, but the world is to come. We just read a while ago in Philippians, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. So there's nothing that it doesn't cover. There's no situation in your life that the name of Jesus doesn't cover, that you couldn't pray about, that you couldn't ask God to help you with. There's nothing you're going to run across and God's going to just wring his hand and say, well, nothing I can do about that. No, everything is under that name. The problem is we've got to get the name out. We've got to get it on our lips. We've got to say it. We've got to pray it. Amen? We've got to pray in Jesus' name. And you shouldn't say, listen, you shouldn't say amen. You should say in Jesus' name. I know it sounds okay to say, well, amen. No, just say Jesus' name, because Jesus' name is the name we pray in. And that's what you find all through the book of Acts. That's what you find in Jesus' teaching in John 14, 15, 16. I mean, come on. The proper way to pray or into prayer is to pray in Jesus' name, because that's where our power is. That's where our authority is. When Brenda married me, her name was Tyre. Her last name was Tyre. But her last name now is Williams. And it's been Williams for 40 years. 41 this year. She took on my name and access to all my bank accounts. Which we didn't have. Which wouldn't wasn't a whole lot when we got married. So yeah, whoopee at that time. That wasn't a great catch at that time, that's for sure. But she has access to all my stuff because she has my last name. And she'll always be Brenda Williams. I'll always be a Jesus person. You will always be a Jesus person. And when you sign that prayer, it's like you sign that check. Jesus' name. Amen. Are you with me? You have a right to because you're married to him. You accepted him. You received him. You became a Christian. And you have access to his bank accounts. But his bank accounts have healing in it. His bank accounts has peace in it. His bank accounts has joy. His bank account has prosperity. His bank account has all the comfort that you need in life. The boldness that you need in life. The courage that you need in life. It's there, but you got to sign. You got to write a check. You got to pray. You got to say. You got to confess. Are you with me? That name has been given to us. Which, that's really the next message. Next week, if Jesus tarries, you have to come back. We'll get into that. But this wonderful name, this name that is glorifies God all over the universe, this name that is honored above all, every name in all creation, this name that is this wondrous, majestic name of Jesus is yours to use. You got to ask yourself this question. Why am I not using that name more? Why in the world am I putting up with this? Why have I not prayed? You mean I have access to all that? Yes, you do. You mean I can call on God in Jesus' name and heaven and earth will come to my aid? Yes, 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 they will. They will. And why hadn't you been doing it? I don't know. I kick myself more. I mean, you know, if you could kick somebody that's responsible for most of your failures in life, you wouldn't be able to sit down for a week. Because it's you, it's me. It's, you know, we need to pray. We need to believe God. Amen. We need to stand on the word. Hallelujah. We need to use that name. Hallelujah. And watch the devil run. Praise God.